Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, proud of its ties to Alaska communities since 1977. More at alyeskapipeline.com.
Welcome to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Torta. Mike and Kelly Bender operated Lazy Otter Charters in Whittier, Alaska for over 30 years. A random trip to Whittier led Mike to buying a boat and getting into the water taxi business. He met Kelly, and they slowly grew the business, raising their family and becoming involved in Whittier's tourism scene. Recently, they sold their business to sisters Michelle, Jen, and Tammy Land, passing their legacy to a younger generation. On this Outdoor Explorer, Mike and Kelly share their stories of starting and running a family-owned business in a small town, including the changes they have seen in the Sound. Jen and Michelle also talk about how they fell in love with Prince William Sound, started working for Mike and Kelly, and their vision for the future of Lazy Otter Charters. We'll also hear about the Prince William Sound Natural History Symposium. Stay tuned for Outdoor Explorer. Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Torlat. Today, I have Kelly and Mike Bender, founders of Lazy Otter Charters, and Jen Lane and Michelle Lane, the new owners of Lazy Otter Charters, with me in the studio. Welcome.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Mike. So, Kelly and Mike, yours is a fascinating story of a homegrown, successful Alaska business. And now you're passing it on to a younger generation with Jen and Michelle and another sister, apparently. So congratulations.
Thanks again.
Yeah, we are really excited.
Yeah, and we're so looking forward to hearing about this story for all of us who've known you forever, and also for those people, some people might be interested in starting up their own business someday. So let's start with Kelly and Mike telling us a little bit about your history. It seems like I've known you guys forever on Prince William Sound. How did you end up in Prince William Sound in the charter boat business?
Well, it's a funny story. I discovered Whittier on I think it was in 1980 on a drive down to the Kenai Peninsula. Happened to go by when the train was loading at the dock there, or at the parking lot there. Saw a bunch of people getting on the train, and I pulled into the parking lot and asked the conductor where the train was going. He told me it was going to a funky little town just through the mountains there. Then that I should come in and jump on board. So for some reason I did. Went through the tunnel. It was a beautiful, gloriously sunshiny day there in Prince William Sound.
Happens
from time to time.
Yeah.
So I stayed, walked around the town on the docks there, and then I thought, boy, this is a great place. I've been in boating almost all my life. My family was. I grew up working in a boat shop in Pennsylvania on Lake Erie, so yeah, I came back and then talked to a friend about moving. We had a sailboat, 17-foot sailboat at the time from Big Lake down to Prince William Sound. So I think it was the next weekend they put it on the flatbed rail car there at the railroad, and then discovered Whittier. And since then, spent almost every weekend, all of my vacation from Easter through probably, Thanksgiving out on Prince William Sound, either on the sailboat in the early years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then how about the charter business then? When did that come to be? And what was sort of the idea behind it, I think?
Well, I used to work in a newspaper business, and the Anchorage had two newspapers at the time in 93. The Anchorage Daily News bought out the Anchorage Times, and they decided they didn't need as many people in a non-competitive market as they needed in a competitive market. So I don't know if you've ever heard the getting the golden handshake from a company.
Yeah.
Well, I got the copper version of that. So after kind of taking a step back and really kind of figuring out, thinking about what I'd like to do the rest of my life, I decided I'd like to do it on the Sound.
Oh, nice.
So I put some things together, and I shopped for a boat in the spring, talked to some people if it was going to be a good business plan, did the business plan, and got a boat from Sitka and brought it up and then outfitted it. And it's odd because the word had gotten out that that I was going to do that, and my first customer followed me home. And she pulled up into my driveway with the boat sitting there in the parking, the space beside the driveway. And she said, "Are you Mike?" And I was like, "Yeah." "Like, are you starting a water taxi business in Whittier?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "I want to be your first customer."
Oh,
yeah. She wrote, I was a $500 check at the time and handed it to me. So you think to yourself, how hard can this business be? Follow you home. So that was the start. And yeah, it was interesting to begin with. Lived on the boat, put it in the harbor there. Yeah. Lived on the boat, had a cell phone that was about the size of a brick. The first Motorola ones, if everybody remembers those. And slept on the boat. That was my office. And then just commuted up into the captain's seat to drive. So.
And what year was that?
That was in 94, May of 94. Oh, yeah, nice. The previous century.
Yeah. And Kelly, what did you enter this in?
Well, I started in tourism right out of high school. Uh-huh. And my first job in 84 was working for Brad Phillips, doing Valdez to Whittier, back to Valdez. So I met Mike in Whittier. I like to say I'm part of the Whittier Wives Club. We are a small but proud group. Met our husbands in Whittier. Yeah, I was working for Phillips Cruises at the time and liked Mike's logo. So started talking in a few years. We dated for quite a few years. I went back and forth, worked in Prince William Sound, then worked in Kenai Fjords. I've worked all over Southeast Alaska, Prince William Sound, Seward, Kenai Fjords, but Prince William Sound was always my favorite, so I always worked to get back there. And that's when I met Mike in the 90s.
Yep.
I was working for Brad Phillips at the time.
Yep. And what did the, first of all, the logo. What was the logo that was so enticing?
Oh, it's the logo that we're all still wearing. The totemic otter and lazy otter charters.
Oh, nice. Otter thing.
It has survived many years. Some people say, should we update that logo? We're absolutely not. We love that logo.
So 90s, you had a boat, and I remember that boat. So what was the primary what was your primary business? Hat charters? What were you doing? Tours? Any fishing? What were you doing?
Yeah, mainly it started out all three. So we could do water taxi, a pretty lively transportation for folks that wanted to go out into Prince William Sound. We'd take them out, drop them off at Night Island or Colross Island, and then a few weeks later or pick them up somewhere else, and it worked out well. I had just had the whole thing out of a notebook and in a folder. Uh-huh. So they'd get off the train. At that time, the train came in, I think, four or five or six times during the day in the summer, so you always knew when someone was going to come in on the train. You met them there, helped them with their stuff, loaded up some kayaks, and took them out.
Yeah. So, yeah, for people, listeners, aren't familiar, for a long, long, long time, until about 2001, I believe, the only way to get to Whittier was on the train, and it only ran, like Mike said, four to six times a day. So if you missed the train, you had to wait a couple hours for the next one. Mm. So it was probably a lot slower time, a little more casual, laid-back Whittier back then, as I recall, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was hustle and bustle up until about 6:15 on a Sunday evening, and then when the train left, the whole town just went quiet. It was pretty amazing.
Right. And in those years, what were some of the things, like challenges, and what was, like, when there was a business growing, trying to grow, how'd that evolve? How'd that process happen?
Yeah, from going from one boat to a second boat, we were fortunate enough to know a person that was an investor and helped us actually have a bareboat charter on a much larger vessel. Mm-hmm. When Honey Charters, the other water taxi, they decided they'd wanted to retire. It's very similar to us.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to sell the whole business at once. And we talked to them for a bit, and then I only wanted one of the boats. So when Pete Heddell was his name, Pete and Marilyn owned it previously, they decided they would sell the Chief, which is an inspected vessel. That's when we were fortunate enough to find a person that would, even though we had excellent credit, no bank was interested in financing that. So, found an angel investor for a season or two, and at the end we had the option to buy, and then we ran into another person that actually knew commercial boats and helped us out, and then it was done.
Yeah, Pete and Marilyn came to us and asked us if we were interested in buying when they were retiring, and they were pretty excited about it because they were about our same age, had about the same age kids when they started the business that we were when they asked us to buy it. And before that, they were our biggest competitors, right? So it was a really nice fit. We ran Lazy Otter and Honey Charters together. We ran under both names for a while because they had a great reputation, really well known in Prince William Sound. And then we just absorbed the name and the phone numbers after a couple of years. Yeah. But Pete and Marilyn stayed mentors to us until they both passed.
Yeah. What was that, those early years like? Because it's a small place. It had been a pretty small market, really, if you had a train coming and going. Mm-hmm. And how was that? And you're all like in a little small town, and there's you, there's Pete and Marilyn, Jerry Sanger is another name that comes up mm-hmm. of running sort of mostly kayak charters. How did that work? Like that and you still seem to remain friends in the end.
Yeah. Yes. Wasn't always easy at first, but you know, Whittier is very different compared to Seward. I mean, mm-hmm. we are much smaller Cosmo than Seward, so there's not as much competition, so you really do end up working together. Still to this day, a lot of them, if we say, well, we can't, you should call so-and-so, and it works out generally for us, but small-town dynamics, right? Working in a small town with competitors, working in a small town with a town that's learning to be a town, you know, the city, you know.
And Kelly, what's the trick to that? Like, what's I'm curious, so what made that click for you all?
Yeah, you have to be involved. Mm-hmm. You have to be involved. You have to kind of become pillars in your community. You know, you have to hire local as much as you can. You have to know the administration as much as you can. You have to participate in city council meetings as much as you can. So I think never underestimating the importance of networking and mm-hmm. then being friendly, even if your competitors aren't. I think it's really important to be careful how you talk, but pass on business when you can. I think those are all the secrets that they're your neighbors, and it's a small town.
Yeah.
You're going to run into them in the elevator.
Yeah. And for a lot of people who don't know, Whittier is a unique in a way because a lot of people are in the same building. Yeah. So I want to turn just briefly, and we'll cut back to you guys, but I want Jen and Michelle Land to introduce your little backstory a little bit now. Like how did you make it to Prince William Sound? Where did you grow up? This kind of thing.
Yeah, so my name is Michelle Lang, and I'm here with my sister, Jen. So I've been in Alaska for about 8 years now. I grew up in Long Beach, California, and I just kind of really enjoyed traveling. And then my older sister had taken a seasonal job in Seward, and I was kind of finishing up what I was doing, and I was like, oh, I'll go try Seward out, see how I like it. And, you know, kind of that classic story of do a seasonal job and then end up loving Alaska and kind of staying forever. So then I moved to Whittier and started working for these guys, and absolutely love Prince William Sound. Like, it's, I've definitely found my, my place here. So Jen, you want to say anything?
Jen, yeah.
Yeah, so I am the youngest of the three, so my story is somewhat similar to Michelle's. I kind of followed my sisters to a really cool place and found this home as well. Michelle worked with Lazy Otter before I did, and I just heard about what an awesome place it was and what amazing people it, you know, was to work for, and decided that I wanted to come give it a try as well. And just absolutely fell in love with it. So.
Yeah, and before in your first years with Lazy Otter, what were your roles?
So we were both captains.
Okay.
So I got hired on as a captain and Jen as well.
And when you, and I'm looking back at Kelly and Mike now, like when you hire captains, obviously these two were stars. Like what do you look for in a captain?
When, I will tell you the truth, when Michelle's application came across our desk and she had spent a lot of time in Seward, and we were like, why is she not working for so-and-so? And Mike's like, shut up, don't say that to her, because we couldn't believe this stellar application that came across. And really, the year before that was right after COVID, and it was a pretty difficult year with staff. I don't know. It was just a weird employment time. We'd almost lost faith we've always had such great employees, and that was just a tough year. And when Michelle came on, really changed the dynamics that year, honest to goodness. And then when Jen followed her, and we really thought maybe they're just looking for a year to get their foot in. But I think that maybe they enjoyed the type of business. We do something different every day. You are challenged every day working on small boats that go ashore multiple times a day. So I think just the adventure and the challenge of the job maybe attracted them to stay a little longer. But
yeah. And captains in general, employees, you have a team of people. So what's important in your team?
Wow, there's so many things that are important. Number one, I think most importantly, you think you need to be a student of your profession. So we look for people that are interested. Not only driving a boat is probably not the hardest thing. It's how you relate with your customers, the safety of the boat, how you can deal with mechanical issues if they came up, and just if there's an emergency, how you're going to handle the emergency. And then, of course, boat handling. You can't be ricocheting off other boats in the harbor. It's a very tight harbor. The beach that we use sometimes at lower tides is very, very challenging. You get a good feel for, I think, what is a good fit for some people and what isn't. I mean, yeah. We've probably have a moratorium on hiring people from Florida because I think we're 0-4 on that. We've had several captains that have driven the 8 days in Florida from Florida to Alaska and made it for one day, one afternoon.
Wow!
And that's a long way to come to figure. Right. Yeah, even though our best efforts into explaining how that whole thing went, you know, operating in Prince William Sound versus in Florida, because if you hit something in the sound is very deep until it isn't, and then it's a rock that you're going to hit. It's very seldom a beach as opposed to Florida, where you go up onto a beach, a nice sandy beach. So,
yeah. You are listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Tordak. We're talking about the story of Lazy Otter Charters based in Whittier with Mike and Kelly Bender and Jen and Michelle Lynn. So Mike, back to that idea of captains and running. I'm sort of curious to expound on the sort of challenges of operating out in the sound. Like some of the things that, like if you're to give advice, which I'm sure you have to Michelle and Jen, but to other, you know, boat operators, including myself. Like, okay, I got that. Don't hit the rock. What else? Yeah, for us.
Well, there's some weather. It's improved dramatically. The reporting of the weather since, you know, I started there in 83. So now that there are buoys that report actual wind and wave, it kind of fills in a nice picture of what you're heading out to instead of an unknown forecast that was made at 4 a.m. in the morning may not be true at 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning when you're still thinking about going to Montague Island. You leave the comforts of Passage Canal and then you can just get walloped all the way out and all the way back. The tide, a lot of people don't understand that there's a 14 to 16 foot swing in the tide, and it waits for nobody, man or woman. If you go up onto a beach to let some people off and the tide's going out, it can be problematic.
Yeah.
And everybody's been, I think we've all been stuck once or twice, but fortunately for all the times that we've gone, and we go to the beach thousands of times a summer. Mm-hmm. We've got certain ones that are already vetted. We know what the beach looks like, the profile.
Yeah.
But other times you find yourself going to a place that you shouldn't be going to. So
yeah.
You really need to have your head in the game, let's just say.
Yeah. And so back to Jen and Michelle. So it sounds like a captain needs to be a meteorologist, a captain, a boat mechanic, a businesswoman, a person. How was your background? What prepared you for all this?
This is Michelle speaking. We have similar voices. But I went to university in California. I studied communications. And I kind of just, again, started traveling and randomly got a job on a boat. It wasn't something I ever saw myself doing or really thought I would be good at. Mm-hmm. But then I just kind of started working in tourism for a while, kind of traveled around the world doing that. And I I learned that like it is a lot more than, you know, just driving a boat. And that concept even scared me, the fact of driving a boat and like being responsible for other people. I was like, this is something that I'm not gonna be able to do that. But then once I started doing it, I started learning like, oh, this is actually really, really cool. And then, and once you learn how to do it, it's great. But I think also like my background in just working with people has been really important with this job now, and especially owning the business. Like we're dealing with people every day, whether that's, people we're taking out on the water, or now just dealing with, you know, networking and meeting lots of new people. That's kind of my answer. Yeah. Jen,
you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, sure. Just on the, I think I had similar feelings when I first got my captain's license, and just the thought of, oh, wow, all of these people's lives are in my hand right now. And that's a big thing to kind of grapple with. And then you very quickly realize that, yes, that's true. Yes, I have to drive this boat. And there's so many other things that you kind of are like, you accept that and then move on to the next thing. You know, like you said, we are mechanics. We have to understand the weather. There's so many places that our brain has to be while we're out there. And all of my experience working on the water, like actually working on boats, has been here in Alaska. So I've been really grateful to learn from amazing people, work for amazing captains, and have a lot of friends that work in this industry. So I've gotten experience from them. And then just a lot of my learning about these boats and Prince William Sound has been with Lazy Otter Charters from Mike and Kelly. So
that's great.
I would just like to add too, we've always tried to find people who had maybe a little bit of a science background or an interest in it. There's a lot of people that just drive boats or tankers or fishing boats, or the folks that we've looked for and that have done really well and have a true interest in the natural environment in Prince William Sound and really also care about it. So you can't, that really comes through when you're, the guests that have, especially the sightseeing, well, that's not even true. The water taxi and the sightseeing guests that have come out with Lazy Otter have had to do research. They're looking for this particular kind of business. And so they have an expectation of a little bit more education and natural history. And I think that is really shines through with Jen and Michelle. Started the Whale Sense program. You know, these are really important. Your guests expect it. You want to give it to them. And that's really an important part of who Lazy Otter Charters has been.
And what's the Whale Sense program?
Yeah, I'll speak a little to that. This is Jen speaking. Whale Sense, it's a voluntary program that is through NOAA. And it's guidelines on how to respectfully drive boats, maneuver boats around whales and all types of marine mammals. So sea lions, sea otters, porpoise, everything out there. So it's really focused on education. So with your guests, letting them know, hey, there's this thing called the Marine Mammal Protection Act, and these are the rules. And above that, you know, these are just good practices that we do to minimize our impact on these animals. And so it's something that all of our crew every year goes through an online training program. We just started this last year and it went really well. And so it's education on a crew level so that we can then educate our passengers.
Well, great. Yeah, that's I could learn from that, I'm sure. Kelly, let's come back to you a little bit. So what's been your role in this whole business? Yeah, because I know you're you're an important one.
Actually, my career has been on tour boats always. Yeah. I started in, like I said, working for Brad Phillips, but I never really got involved in being a captain. So really operations and administration has been my role. So a lot of the jobs I've had, I've learned ordering and budgeting and HR and hiring and stuff. So that has really been more reservations. So we said we were on a notebook for many, many years, a notebook and QuickBooks. And we finally went to an online reservation system in 2018 or 19, but we still kept two dual recording because it was just nerve-wracking to go to an online system. But also then you would wake up and people like paid you overnight. They made reservations and booked overnight.
Right,
so,
yeah.
But we did join the 20th century with a reservation system. But yeah, just mostly reservations, then hiring, order, you know, the running the cafe and the fudge shop and the we had kayaks for a while. So
yeah, talk about those additions. I mean, I did fudge.
Yeah.
Fudge and the kayak charter. Yeah. I can sort of say kayaks, but from a business perspective, like, let's start with the kayaks first and then move to the fudge.
Yeah, we really just talked about when you're in a small town and there's a need, somebody has to fill it or somebody will fill it. We started doing kayaks because we had a friend that had a couple kayaks. We said, oh, I'll rent them for you. And then it made sense that we could be a one-stop shop. We kind of thought he was going to run more of the kayaks, but it's... So
all of them.
Yeah, but we ended up doing it. You know, when you're in a small town, a boat sinks in the harbor. Well, they dive. Mike dives. Let's call Mike. So then he ends up raising a boat, and then he does it again. And then now it's a bigger job. So let's buy some lift bags. You just start filling roles because you're in a small town. The cafe. Well, if we're gonna have an office for our charter business, well, you might as well sell coffee. And if you're going to have coffee, you better have cinnamon rolls. And then, you might as well add ice cream. So, you know, it just kind of grows from that. And then the building next to us came for sale after COVID. We actually just said, we kind of want to protect who our neighbors are going to be. Certain type of businesses, we weren't hoping to come into town. So we just kind of, and we thought maybe we'd increase the business, and it worked out great because people love fudge. So yeah, it just being in a small town, opportunities and need.
Right.
Somebody needs to fill it, and we were talking about today. We said yes a lot.
We said way too much.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Like. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, just when we were first dating, Kelly. Trying to be the good person that she is, someone who would leave a bag, the ship, the West Tours, their ship would depart and their bag had gotten lost at the airport. So after, you know, being on the water from, 8:30 or 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the evening, on the way in, Kelly would say, hey, I got us another job. So we can deliver some baggage, and it'd be all the way down the bottom of Nellie One. I'd drive the boat all the way down, hand off their two bags or whatever it is. So I'd be getting back. We'd be getting back. We were much younger, 1:30 or 2 in the morning. And then I was back up at 7 o'clock to go out again. So
used to love to say, owning your own business, you get to decide which 18 hours a day to work.
And when did you start to learn to say no then? Like, and what was the filter for that?
I think we're still... Well, I mean, you sell the business. I mean, fortunately, that helps a bunch, because I'm not sure we would have gone from that. But
we started, water taxi was the main business. And then it started, because I come from a tourism background and day boat sightseeing, so started tracking more of that business. And the sightseeing started overtaking the water taxi. Like, there wasn't enough space, so we realized. And a major company came to us and said, we want to do small boats. We don't want to put, we're doing these intimate experiences. We don't want to go another bigger boat. Will you build a boat? We'll give you this much business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. We'll be right back. You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media after this break. We'll be back with more about Lazyada with Mike and Kelly Bender and Jen and Michelle Land.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime, wherever you get your podcasts, or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Torres. We are talking about Lazyada Charters and their history and their story with Mike and Kelly Bender and Jen and Michelle Lamb. So, Mike, let's continue on this theme about sort of challenges and rewards with running the business. And I think about sort of memorable stories out in the sound. You probably got thousands and thousands. The ocean never sleeps. So do you have any particular ones that come to mind?
Oh, yeah. Some they all really kind of revolve around wildlife. I mean, it's amazing because even at my advanced years, even in December, I was out. There are times you're out in the sound and you just realize there's nobody else around. December 9th or 14th or whatever it might be, and just could stop and enjoy the panoramic view of looking up College Fjord to a brilliant orange and pink hue up there. But those things are, you know, they're continuous. They're, like I say, I've been in many places that I've just had to do that. You feel overwhelmed and you just got to do that. But as far as experiences, wildlife experiences, one of my most memorable ones, I had a group of kids on board, and I think there were 8 or 10 of them, and we were coming through Carl Ross, on the outside of Carl Ross Island there, and way off in the distance, I saw a cow and a calf, killer whale, and they were coming just directly to us.
Yeah.
And we just stopped the boat, and I got everybody on the back, and like, well, this will be great, because they'll pass right by us, just be watching, and about 300 yards away, and they both went down.
Oh.
And like, ooh, I hope they just don't swim under, because they've done that lots of times before. But she came up, breached full out.
Oh, cool.
8 feet off the water.
Oh, wow.
30 feet off the stern of the boat.
Oh, wow. Oh,
bang, go back in the water. And then she just swam. So all the kids were just crazy.
Yeah.
So it was amazing. There have been times when I've been looking for kayakers on the beach and outside of Night Island, and have the binoculars up to my face, and my right eyepiece goes completely black because there's a humpback that's come out of the water. And fortunately, she went, or he went right, and I went to port. So it worked out well. Uh-huh. So those are some of the good ones, and some of the most challenging ones are doing some rescues for people that got in trouble. And fortunately, all the ones that we've been involved with have turned out had good results. So
do you have any suggestions for boaters, in general? Like, I'm relatively new at the powerboat scene, but like, what are some things come to mind when something starting out, boating out in the sound in particular?
Yeah, stay close to Whittier, stay close to help. Don't buy a new boat and not know how much fuel it's going to consume, and then decide you want to go to Cordova on your inaugural trip. There's a lot of things that could go wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'd say the weather too. Watch the weather. There's so many avenues to watch the weather now. To not be ready for that is really, and you don't trust it. It's not always trustworthy, but if it said it's going to get bad, it's probably going to get bad.
The Coast Guard Auxiliary has a beginning boating program that's taught like, I think, 2 or 3 times a year, so I would encourage people to visit that. I think it's vital that there's a partner on board that knows how to operate the boat in case the primary, the captain, or the husband, or whoever it is, becomes incapacitated. Because just this last summer, we had 2 bad, unfortunate accidents that the person that was left didn't know how to reach anybody or didn't know where they were.
So tough.
Those didn't turn out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
But so many great things too. So Michelle and Jen, like, you're relatively, compared to Mike and Kelly, new at this. What are some of your memorable moments? Maybe let's start with getting trained up by Mike.
Yeah, I have learned so much from Mike. Really, I mean, just watching the way he navigates the boats, watching the way he interacts with passengers, and just the advice that he gives, both, verbally giving advice and just watching how he handles different situations. He is very good at directing us where we need to go, sometimes with very, very loud hand gestures, the way he, in his own words, calls them all caps, which I think is very, very fitting. But you can always make sure, you know exactly where to go as you're coming into the dock, because he will direct you right there. And it's honestly very, very helpful. I know how to drive these boats, as well as I do today, and how to work on the engines, because I've, seen the way he does it, and especially the mechanical side of things, just watching the way he problem solves and his kind of like working through issues to come to a solution. I'm still learning, from that every time I'm able to work on a project like that with him. So that's invaluable, and we all will continue to learn from him, definitely, going into the future. Anything with you, Michelle?
Yeah, I would just say kind of everything that Jen said. I love the mic jokes that he has. He has some pretty good one-liners that we still giggle about every now and then. Nothing I'll say on the radio, but yeah, I feel like just Mike and Kelly as well, like just being able to learn, see how she's like been able to run a business and everything has been very, very helpful. And I've learned a lot from the both of them.
And if you're going to give advice to people starting off, Kelly and you, Michelle, what were some of the important questions and aha moments that you had so far?
Yeah, so far, there's been a lot. There's been a lot of moments that we're just learning. You know, this we've been driving the boats for a long time. Like that side of the business has been something that we're really comfortable with. But there are so many behind the scenes things that I just had no idea that went into running a business. And so I have so much respect for, you know, Mike, but also Kelly. Like she kind of went through the things that she does before. She has like a million other things that she is doing to keep this, that kept this business running. And so I feel like I'm always like calling her, texting her, be like, okay, well, where did you get this? Or what did you do this? Or like, how did you deal with like this, you know, group? And yeah, that's, I think, been the hardest thing for me to learn is just like, to be able to kind of embrace the inner Kelly to handle all the different aspects of of this business. Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly.
Well, I'm going to tell you, since we're kind of unwrapping out of the business, the things that we're learning that we should have done different, we're learning a lot of things too. But I've been, these three have really designated each other into a different role, which has been so brilliant and so nice to see. And I've been like, oh my God, I forgot to tell them this. They need to go do this thing. I better call them and tell them. And they go, oh yeah, we're already signed up. I mean, it's so refreshing and nice. They have been moving forward through this whole process. And that's been really fun, refreshing, and
that'll bode well
satisfying.
For the
Yeah.
Talk about the family business part of this. Yeah. With kids, you guys are now three sisters, two of you, right? Yeah. So how's that worked? And I know your son's driving boats now, and so yeah.
All of our kids. I mean, we started the business, and we built a building there in 2000. In between charters, I did an older brother that came down and helped. But our grand opening and closing for the season party was the same party in 2001. So yeah, we lived up there with two and three kids at a time. Kelly and I was an office above the shop and a big German Shepherd. So you always knew what was going on. We'd wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to a coffee grinder and the smell of cinnamon rolls. And then hopefully the cash register would ding shortly after that.
I imagine though that's a tough deal on a marriage and a partnership at times. And how did you manage
family,
that? On a family, how did you manage that?
Yeah, we like to say it brings a whole new meaning to family dynamics. So we have to learn how to communicate. I think at first we had our own stresses going on and maybe not talking about that. You know, our kids were involved too. And on one hand, it was a wonderful place for kids to grow up. And I think it's amazing what kids learn. You know, our oldest son, Stephen, was very involved in helping us build a boat. Dylan grew up there. Morgan was a kayak guide for us. So they've all played a lot of different roles, but what I think most importantly is they learned work ethics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is a good employee? What is a bad employee? So I really think it's another thing that we kind of got a little cliches going on here, but we have a couple things we like to say, like we taught our kids work-life balance because we didn't really have any. And we're not apologizing for it. We feel really proud of how we raised our kids, how we raised this business. I don't know, maybe looking back, there's things you could do different, but
there always is.
Yeah, right? But I'm super proud of our kids who they are now. And
yeah.
But how important it was to us, you always hope, you never know how you're going to get to sell your business, but to sell it to another family and then to these very dynamic women is a real source of pride.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, yeah, very gratifying.
Okay, no pressure there. But yeah, you're in it together now. So tell us a little bit about how that transition, like how that came to be. You're thinking about how I'm going to buy this business, right?
Yeah, sure. So firstly, I cannot express how thankful I am to be doing this with my two sisters. Like, now that we are a couple months into it, I cannot imagine doing this on my own. I think each one of us cannot imagine doing it on our own. And Kelly mentioned before, but we each have our strengths and, you know, our areas that maybe we're, you know, still learning or in. And so we really have kind of each gone into our own roles while still supporting and talking everything through together. And that makes it so much more manageable. Not that everything isn't still a challenge, you know, we're definitely still actively learning, but yeah, and how it all kind of happened. I mean, the three of us, we've always loved the ocean. We've always traveled together really well. And we've actually talked, like, when we were younger throughout the years, oh, one day we should get a company together, you know? And I think in its early things, I was like, oh, well, before I had my license, right? Tammy's can drive the boats and Michelle can do scuba diving and I can lead hiking, you know, and all this stuff. And we're like, we'll have some boats to get. We had plans, right? But there was a long time ago and never knew, you know, if it would ever actually happen. And so, you know, flash forward to working a couple years with Mike and Kelly and just working for this company that, I mean, I loved so much. I know Michelle loves it as well. It's just the, like Kelly mentioned, the how dynamic it is, you know, no day is the same. You're doing tours, you're doing water taxi, you're doing so many other things, you know, that still surprises me that people call up. They're like, oh, can you do this, you know, with the boat? You're like, sure, yeah, we can do that. Uh-huh. So it's really, really exciting. And it's the exact kind of business that, you know, is something that we have talked about wanting to do. So, you know, when Mike and Kelly approached us about it, at first we were shocked. We're like, what? and it took, you know, some conversation about, like, is this even something that is possible for us, you know, financially? And it's something that if we can do it, like, we have to do it. Like, this is exactly what we have, like, the direction we've seen our life going in. It just maybe wasn't something that we realized was going to happen as quickly as it did. So, yeah. Yeah, definitely once they approached us about it, it was a lot of kind of discussing and reaching out to people and asking for advice. And yeah, we ended up getting in contact with someone who has helped Mike and Kelly out before and ended up helping us out, a similar kind of bareboat charter long-term agreement that made it financially viable for us to be able to kind of take over like we did. And so we're, yeah.
You're talking about, like, financing, and I'm sort of curious about the financing business. I mean, Mike talked about initially how they got started. How did you guys swing this?
Yeah, sure. So it's, I mentioned bareboat charter. It's essentially, at least for the boat side of things, that somebody else purchased the boats and mm-hmm. we are chartering the boats from them, but mm-hmm. in a way that, you know, we are operating as owners. So all, you know, the boats are our mm-hmm. responsibilities. We are operating as if we own the boats, but we are paying them, you know, mm-hmm. monthly. And then eventually we will have the opportunity to kind of similar to like a lease to own situation. Right. Yeah, exactly.
So like owner financing almost.
Kind of. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Similar. It's just kind of in this structure. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think that if, like I said, we had a lot of conversations, like, cause this is something that I had always dreamed about. And in the back of my mind, working for Lazy Otter, I was always like, man, this would be such a cool business to own. Like, but it just never even clicked that it could be a reality. So when we talked to them and they're like, look, there's people out there that will want to see you succeed and they'll help you to succeed. So, you know, and everything's hard. Like, when you think about it, you know, and you're like, I mean, for me, working on boats seemed like an impossible task, and then I did it and it was amazing. And then getting my captain's license seemed like an impossible task, and then I did it and I found my calling. And then same with owning a business, we're like, is this something we can do? Because while we had talked about it, it's not like we necessarily saw ourselves as these entrepreneur, business owner kind of people. We're just normal people that love driving boats and hanging out with people. And then we just got really good advice from Mike and Kelly, but also just other people in the community, and it made our dream kind of become a reality. So
Oh, fantastic. You are listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. We're talking about Lazy Otter Charters based in Whittier and their story and with the former owners and founders and the new owners.
The changes.
So, let's talk about changes. And I'll talk to Kelly and Mike here, what you've seen in the Sound and tourism, how things have changed, and what do you see coming in the future?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest change to Prince William Sound is when the road opened in 2000. And you can stand on a Sunday night and just watch boat after boat after boat heading back into Prince William Sound. So definitely more traffic is coming to Prince William Sound. We aren't yet to Seward or Southeast, right, where we have to share the time to watch whales. But it could be coming, you know, the new cruise ship terminal. So there's two terminals. We're going to have five ships a week.
Oh,
in
wow.
Whittier.
Yeah, yeah.
And on Wednesdays, there's going to be two ships. So, you know, luckily we've done some preemptive with the tourism best management practices. So some of the things in that program are issues that we're not facing yet, but we wanted to get on top of it so that we're prepared for it if we do get more business.
Talk about that best management practices. We're going to have Charlotte Hughes on later with the Prince William Sound Stewardship Foundation, which myself and Kelly are full disclosure on the board of, but talk a little bit about that plan.
Yeah,
what it is. And, yeah.
It started in Juneau. There's best practices managers for best management practices for a lot of different things, but it started in Juneau because they were having so many issues with cruise ship passengers. And when we heard that the new cruise ship terminal was coming in and how much more business Whittier was going to get, the Whittier Chamber of Commerce and the city of Whittier jumped on board, got some partners with the Forest Service, Stewardship Foundation, and put together this tourism best management practices. We used Juneau's program as a model, but it really just sets standards how people act on the water in Prince William Sound and in Whittier. And just it's a guideline, and it's a volunteer program. You get all the tour operators to sign on to it. You get the community to sign on to it. Really proud of it. We're 2 years full on. Actually, this will be a third year full on into the program. Like I said, we haven't had to use a lot of the things that are in that program, but they're there, and,
right.
and it's a good tool. So, you know, other changes that we've seen, you know, Berry Arm Landslide.
Yep.
Changed our business
drastically.
Yep. Good and bad, but that is a constant that we will be waiting for.
Yep. It's still there.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if it fell down in January 7th on a really low tide when there was nobody in the Sound and the resulting tsunami broke on the moraines two moraines to knock it all down. That would just be a big relief. But there's risk in everything you do. And what happened in 22, as someone pointed out, like that's the risk. And you get to decide if you want to accept that risk and go up there. We chose not to for quite some time, and then now you guys get to choose that.
So, Jen and Michelle, what are you looking forward to the future and changes, and what do you see coming down the pike for the business in Prince William Sound?
Yeah, so looking forward to the future, I'm just really excited to kind of be going forward and seeing Lazy Otter from a different perspective. Now we're not just the captains, but we're also going to be seeing all the behind the scenes. We are making more connections with the people we're actually taking out with all of our passengers, which has been really cool. I'm just excited as well for our tours to start up. Like we have some amazing tours. We have ones that go into Blackstone Bay, ones that go look out for more wildlife and stuff. And so I'm just really excited for getting all the crew back together and us doing those tours. And yeah, also just going out for water taxis, seeing what other places in the Sound we can explore, and just meeting and getting to hang out with really cool people on the boat all day and stuff.
Yeah.
And just going forward, like she said, we're going to have, you know, more cruise ships coming into town. So it'll be interesting to kind of just see, you know, how that affects our company. And I think that we have an amazing boat, the Voyager, that is just a 27 passenger. So it's not your big tour boat, you know, it's that still small, really personalized experience where you're getting to chat with the captain and the deckhand. You're actually getting to get off the boat and walk on a beach in Prince William Sound and get that really personalized experience. And so I'm just excited to to continue to show people why we love the sound so much, and also just continue to carry on the legacy that Mike and Kelly have created, and you know, just add our own family owns, woman owns, you know, kind of spin to that. And one day maybe we'll be here in a recording studio 30 years later chatting with the next family owned that we're handing off Lazy Otter to.
Awesome. I hope I'm not here, but yeah. Well, I hope I am, but I'd be, yeah. Anyways, well, that's really a chance. You want to add anything?
Yeah, just, I guess, to kind of echo what Michelle said, I'm really excited for the future. I think for this next year, a big goal of ours is to just maintain the same quality and consistency that Mike and Kelly have established with Lazy Otter. That's a big goal of ours for all the existing customers that, you know and trust Lazy Otter. You know, we already know them because we were their captains, you know, and now we're the owners, and we want to earn that trust from people, you know, in this new role. And then going into the future beyond that, looking for ways that we can grow the business. And I think we're going to have ideas maybe next year that we're not even thinking about right now, because we're really just focusing on, like I said, maintaining that quality and consistency for this year. But we are really excited to see where we can take Lazy Otter into the future.
Great. That sounds like a really smart a way to go. So you've been listening to Outdoor Explorer. We've been talking with Lazy Otter, the founders and now former owners, Kelly and Mike Bender, and the new owners, Jen and Michelle Land. Thank you both all for being with us today.
It's been our pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
Next up, we have Charlotte Hughes, the Prince William Sound Stewardship Foundation Executive Director, to share info about this year's Prince William Sound Natural History Symposium coming up this May. Welcome to the show, Charlotte.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and full disclosure, I'm a volunteer board member of the Prince William Sound Stewardship Foundation and help organize the event. But go ahead, Charlotte. Tell us a bit about this year's symposium.
Yes, we're really looking forward to welcoming everyone to our 8th annual Prince William Sound Natural History Symposium. This year's theme is Sound Reflections, and what started off as a training opportunity for outdoor educators and guides has really grown into this highly anticipated community event where we get together and share the latest news and research from around Prince William Sound. And the Natural History Symposium will be held this year Monday and Tuesday, May 11th and 12th in Whittier and online. And now if you can't make it in person in Whittier, if you're in Cordova, there's a watch party at the Prince William Sound Science Center. You can tune in via Zoom from wherever you are. And if you can't make it at all on the 11th or 12th, no worries. We'll have videos of all of our sessions posted online at princewilliamsound.org. And if you're interested in the symposium and would like to get a little taste of that before the event, you can also go to our website at princewilliamsound.org to check out the library of videos from past symposium.
Right, and you said, is it 7th annual? Is that right?
8th annual.
8th annual, wow. Yeah. 8th annual, we've been at it. And a lot of those videos are up from the previous events, right?
Yes, from the past 7 years.
Right, that's excellent. And you said it's in Whittier, right? It's live, so people can go to Whittier and attend there in person?
Yes, it's live at the Public Safety Building in Whittier.
Yeah, one of the nicer buildings in Whittier, actually.
We have sessions on Monday, May 11th from 1 to 5 p.m. And then after that, we also have Coffee with the Scientists over at Lazy Otter Cafe, which will now be the Frisky Mermaid.
Yeah.
And then a social after that at Oceanfront Cafe. And then the next day, we're back in the Public Safety Building from 9 to 4:30 p.m. for the day of sessions. And all of those are free. Wide range of topics all related to Prince William Sound. If you'd like to check out our agenda, that'll be on our website at princewilliamsound.org as well.
Yeah. And why this event? Like, why, what's important about it? Why are we doing this event, I guess? Yeah,
this event brings together the latest news and research from around the sound every year. So we have some sessions that are repeats that we're always getting updates on, like land management news from the primary landowners in Prince William Sound of Chugach Alaska Corporation, Alaska State Parks, and Chugach National Forest. We also get updates on barrierarm and landslides, and then a wide range of topics from around the sound. And this event also brings together the community. It's folks in Whittier, it's folks from around the Sound, from around South Central Alaska, who all have the shared love of the place. And we get together these 2 days in May and really kick off the summer season.
And my impression is Monday is, well, it's more for guides, but anybody can attend, right? Pretty much? Yeah.
That's right. So this event got its start as a training opportunity for the many outdoor educators and guides that come to the area every summer and that are taking guests out in the area. And so the Monday sessions are really designed with the outdoor educator guide community in mind. And those can be guides who are totally brand new to Alaska. This is day one. They're here. Or guides who've been doing this for 20, 30 years. And everyone gets together to share their experiences. We have a guide panel as part of that day. That's something that we started last year to great success and look forward to what those guides will have to share this year. And then our Tuesday sessions are on a range of different topics. The Monday sessions are totally open to everyone as well.
All right. Do you have any particular speakers that you're looking forward to?
I've been working on this agenda, and I am so excited for everyone who's part of this. It's great to see familiar faces there and new faces. This year, we'll be having some sessions on marine debris, and I'm really excited for what Catherine Youngblood, the Marine Debris Tracker app developer, will mm-hmm. be presenting. And we'll also be rolling out the second year of the Whittier Tourism Best Management Practices Program. Stephanie Carlson, the TBMP administrator, will be presenting on that. So excited to see that in its second year. And excited to see all of these speakers come together.
That best management practice, that was sort of spurred on by the new cruise ship dock in Whittier, right?
Yes.
Right, and a lot more traffic, or the expectation for a lot more activity in Passage Canal in Whittier.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to learn about that. Anything else we need to know about it?
No, we're really looking forward to seeing you there. That's Monday and Tuesday, May 11th and 12th, for the 8th Annual Prince William Sound Natural History Symposium.
All right. Thank you, Charlotte. That was Charlotte Hughes with the Prince William Sound Stewardship Foundation talking about the 8th Annual Prince William Sound Natural History Symposium. Thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thanks to my guests, Kelly and Mike Bender, and Michelle and Jen Lang with Lazy Otter Charters, and Charlotte Hughes with the Prince William Sound Stewardship Foundation. I'm your host, Paul Twardock, and from all the hosts at Outdoor Explorer, it's time to go boating, and we'll see you outdoors.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of Alaska Public Media in Anchorage, Alaska. Tobin Shelby is its producer, and the program is edited by Ammon Swenson and Crystal Hyde. Theme music is by Portugal, the Man. Views expressed on the show are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can listen to Outdoor Explorer anytime at alaskapublic.org and in your favorite podcast app. If you have a question, comment, or a topic suggestion, email outdoorexplorer@alaskapublic.org.